We're talking about atmospheres of faith. I'm going to try to finish this this teaching today. I've been teaching on the different places. How many of you remember? I'm not going to ask you. The first atmosphere was Jesus' hometown, and there was a huge amount of unbelief, and Jesus marveled at their unbelief because they knew him. So, you know, they knew him, and they thought, well, I know him. I know his mom and dad. I watched him grow up, and therefore they had trouble receiving from him because of it. And then he did that great quote about the prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. You know, and so the only answer to that is teaching. You've got to teach the word of God to get people out of their ruts. Because how many even know a rut is a grave without the ends on it? It is. So we got to get out of the ruts. So now we're going to go to Mark chapter 5. So turn to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look at another atmosphere. Praise God. And I'm going to do this. God's going to give me good grace to do this. So they're going to go to this place called Gerasene or Gadara. And they came to the other side of the sea. And so now we're going to talk about how the regional regional atmosphere that was over this town, Gadara. And it was a 10-town region that Gadara was a part of. So when I think of Martinsville too, I think of a region of around Martinsville. So even though you can have an atmosphere in Martinsville, but then you have to think outside the city limits. And I think people, you know, I think we need to be aware of what's happening here that will affect a region. So let's look at it. Region of 10 cities. It was a district in Syria. This was not a Jewish region. So number one, this is a Gentile region. This is a region that has no believers that we know of, or no hardly any Jews. So Jesus ministered in Caesarea, which was a Jewish town, mostly Jewish or Jewish mixed town with Romans. And the Roman centurion had great faith. And so God used the Gentile Roman centurion to make it, you know, to just make to make Capernaum a great place so that Jesus chose to live there in his ministry. And but now Gadarenes is a whole nother place. So there was a man, soon as Jesus stepped out of the boat, it says immediately there was a man that met him with an unclean spirit. So immediately, one marker of a regional anointing is how well you welcome the presence of Jesus. Do you see that the presence of Jesus was automatically responded to the moment he came into that town? I mean, right away. He was automatically resisted. This was a city that was really given to demons. These demons had a great influence over this town. When Jesus normally walked into a town, was he immediately accosted by a person? No, they could care less. When he walked in most places, nothing greeted him. He just walked in, did his business, did all this stuff. But in this town, the moment Jesus came there, he was confronted. And so as we go and minister, we want to create an atmosphere where Jesus is welcomed, not resisted immediately. Jesus was not immediately resisted in his hometown, right? He was welcomed, but then he began to preach, and then he was resisted, right? But in this town, just his presence got people all stirred up. And you see that. You will see that. How many of you have driven around different parts of the area, and when you drive in that area, you feel kind of a resistance? I felt it. I know that when I cross state borders, I feel a difference. Going into state borders and to feel a difference in the atmosphere of a particular state. All right? So this is one thing that we see. The other marker of regional unbelief is unclean places, unusual dwelling places, places that are marked by death, poverty, sickness, trash, slums. So that's another thing. How many of you have gone to a place in a city somewhere, and I know they have them overseas, where there are these huts, all you see is these huge accumulations of little sheds, just thousands of them, clustered in one spot with trash everywhere. Okay? There's a few places that we were sent, that I was never been, but I saw them in Kenya. I saw the largest one in Kenya. Remember? It was right where we were staying. It was the largest, huh? Right in, well, actually, you didn't stay in the hotel because you came late. But right there, not far, when we were driving, there's a humongous, I mean, thousands and thousands of these little sheds. One of the largest, what they call, and in some places, they're made of cardboard. A slum, where people are just literally just packed sheds together, and they're like this far between them. And they live in this with no privacy at all. And these, I know in Brazil, I think, when the kids went to the Brazil trip, I know that they had them made out of cardboard boxes. Just thousands and thousands of people living in cardboard boxes. So this is a Gadarene kind of situation. This man, where did he live? He lived in the tombs. So he lived amongst the dead. So he was in an area that was really not cool. So Jesus met him, and this man had come from out of the tombs. He was unclean spirit. And they chose that word unclean right there for a reason. It was filthy. And it says, no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So that means you have lawlessness. Lawlessness. Now, we're seeing an increase in America of lawless areas. A lot of times when you go visit a city and you're traveling, usually one of the first things you hear about is you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Don't just go around and visit the town. Let me take you. I will keep you from the places that you don't want to go. The sad thing that's going on in America right now is that the devil is creating more places where you don't want to go in America, in American cities. What I love about Martinsville, there really, as far as I know, there isn't a place in Martinsville where you're ever told not to go. Huh? Maybe a little bit. Well, I know, for example, people used to talk about Logtown. Okay? I'm talking about your realm, your neck of the woods. But I'm telling you, there's some solid churches there. I met some mighty men of God. We first moved down here, and everybody talked about Logtown. Everybody know where that is, right? On the Carolina. It's right on the Carolina border, on the east side of Martinsville, in the county, right on the border. So you can take that road right on down to Eden, North Carolina. So that's where it is. Well, Logtown was known as kind of like a don't-go place. Well, Mary Ann was teaching in accident school, but one of the preachers... Yeah, so everybody talked about it bad, but man, the preacher's the one who drove the bus there, and guess what they all did when they walked on that bus, when they saw the preacher? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, pastor. They were perfectly behaved. Why? Because the man of God. And he knew all their parents. You see what I'm saying? So you get a man of God, changes the atmosphere of a school bus. Right? Because he was a man of God and they knew. They respected him. They were taught to respect. I know I taught in Martinsville. Martinsville City was the same way. The preacher would walk in there and those kids. See what I'm saying? So there's an atmosphere that can be created by men of God and women of God that can make a difference. But the enemy wants to create more lawlessness in America, where you don't want to go there. And the other thing is, it says no one could bind him. He had shackles and chains, and he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. I mean, I've heard about areas where the police are not protecting, like apartment complexes out in Colorado, where gangs have taken it over and they're not doing anything about it. Or they'll just take over an area, region of a town, and it's happening in London. This is demonic. It's demonic. This is a Gadarenes type of situation where they're giving up entire neighborhoods to the devil. Okay? In order to have peace, you have to have power. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, not because he walks around and meditates all the time and burns incense. Can somebody say amen to that? Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he's got power and he creates peace. So the enemy can't talk. One of the first things you learn in deliverance ministry is to shut the stupid demon up. You don't want them to talk because they'll keep you there for 2 hours. Who wants to hear a demon talk? Not me. I want to get this business done. Shut up and come out. It's what Jesus basically told demons to do. Shut up and get out of here. Why? Because there's control through the talk. They're controlling. How many of you can walk into a situation and someone's controlling the atmosphere because they're talking all the time? And one of the things you do as a group leader is you got to make sure that somebody doesn't hijack your meeting by talking too much. That's demonic. It's a power struggle. And this man was up there. He was screaming. He was lawless. He lived in a stink area, right? And nobody would, and he was crying. So think about trying to go to sleep at night, hearing some dude wailing in the middle of the night, crying out. You can use sound to ruin an atmosphere. People heard us worshiping on the golf course. This is the truth. We get there on Sunday morning, the golfers would complain because the worship was going up here. Can't concentrate the putt because the seventh green was right there. Okay, but we were doing that during the daytime. But then what does the devil do? He puts out people there with boom boxes and cars in the middle of the night running all night long. What does that do? It changes the atmosphere. It's a form of lawlessness. It's a form of control. When God wants the praises of his to go up in the atmosphere and change an atmosphere. It says that when he saw Jesus from afar, it says that he fell down before him. All right, so because Jesus is Lord, there's nothing that can stand before him. Nothing. Nothing can stand before you. You got Jesus in you. And then it says, he cried out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Boy, that guy's cheeky. Trying to tell Jesus what to do? You see, that is that atmosphere of trying to tell God what to do. I adjure you. I order you. Adjure means order. That means to tell him, hey, Jesus, you leave me alone. He's not asking for sympathy. He's trying to be bossy. He's being bossy. People use, and listen to this, then Jesus said, because Jesus was already taking authority over the demon. He was taking authority, and so the guy was automatically trying to tell him not to do it because he knew what was going to happen. So you got to get this. Sometimes you just got to get in there and clean house, right? You got to get in there and take charge, and you don't let anything stop you. You just say, we're having the presence of the Lord today, and nothing's going to stop us. You take authority. You take authority. You just go for it. And then he says, Because he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. I think saying was, he was doing it repeatedly. Come out of him, you man of saying it. Just telling him that. And then Jesus asked him, oh, by the way, what's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. And here's how I want you to hear me on this. People will use the Legion tactic. Everybody say Legion tactic. That's where the devil tries to convince you that there are more of them than you. Guess what? This is what they're doing on the news today. They're taking the actions of a very few amount of people and putting them all over the news so that's all you see. But it's just a few stupid acting demoniacs, and they're trying to make a big deal of a bunch of demoniacs. I'm serious. People that are filled with an unclean spirit, and they're trying to say, we're many. Guess what? They're not many. There are many in a part of a city where they let them be lawless. You see what I'm saying? And you think, oh, they use cameras and they zoom in on them, and you don't see, hey, of a city of 10 million, you've got maybe a couple thousand that are acting out. Yeah, they can do a whole lot of damage, but we got to remember not to be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by the Legion tactic. Can somebody say amen to that? Rebuke it and say, you're nothing. You're nothing. I mean, a legion of a bunch of little mice, let's kick them out. You know? There's no issue here. All right, then he begged them earnestly. Not to send him out of the country. Again, he's still resisting the Lord. You see that resistance to the presence of Jesus? But a great herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. Thinking that the pigs were going to hang around. See, they didn't want to leave. Guess what? They were leaving one way or the other, with either eating pork sausage on the way or not. I'm serious. They're gone. They went into the pigs, right? He sent them out in the pigs to go to Sheol, the grave, because you go in the ocean. Ocean represents the grave. They're gone. Those demons were gone. Gone. All right, so remember that demonic spirits need to be ejected. Let me say that again. Demonic spirits that resist the presence of Jesus need to be rejected outside of the dogs. I hate to say it like that, but that's one of the scriptures you hear about. And what you're saying, in other words, whenever you see that kind of activity, you must kick it out. Don't put up with it. Amen? Create an atmosphere that will be welcoming. That's what Jesus did. He did not let those spirits stay. Sometimes you got to just say goodbye. Farewell. All right? Now we're at this point. The herdsmen fled and told it to the city. Think about all that financial loss because of all the pigs that were gone, right? And so look at how revival starts to hit here. The herdsmen fled and told to the city and the country, and people came to see what had happened. So what will happen is God will start doing deliverance, and these people had no idea about Jesus. Remember, it's a Gentile area. They know nothing about Messiah. Nothing. But what gets their attention? The mighty works of Jesus gets their attention. And people will start to pay attention when they see a change between the crazy dude that's been destroying our nation, our area, our town, the nutcase. People notice what happened, right? And then people notice. Then you can start talking to them and tell them what happened. But right now, all you have is an attention-getting kind of situation. All right? But the fear of God starts to descend. It says, they came to Jesus, saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So the fear of God starts to come on these people. So the next step is the fear of God. People need to start to respect Jesus. They need to respect the Lord and not do stuff. That's the first thing. I'm telling you, when I got saved, the first thing God had to do to me as a teenager, a young man, was to put a little fear of God in me so I'd pay attention. It's just the truth. You need a little bit of fear of God so that you listen. That means if you don't do what he says, it's going to get worse, and you got to be afraid. You got to be afraid of what could possibly happen. And let me just say this, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody say beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of the wisdom, but it's not the middle and the end. Sometimes but you don't always operate in fear. But you got to start with fear because children don't understand. Their thinking is not there yet, so they need a little bit of fear of God initially. And one time I almost want to do a lesson with the kids between the pain that you get from the paddle, the Board of Education, and the pain that you get from really getting hurt from being stupid, of being a child. Train the child in the way that he goes. And in the end, you can let them go. They're going to do what's right. But they need the fear of God in them to help them avoid worse things. And it's like the old adage of coming near a stove that's got a small little light to feel the pain of the little candle because you don't want to burn the house down playing with fire. Kids will play with fire. They'll do really bad stuff, not knowing the danger that they really aren't messing with, right? I'm not going to put a kid in charge of my airplane as I'm flying. Oh, but it's fun. You see what I'm saying? We don't want to teach kids. We want to teach kids the fear of the Lord, but let it be the beginning stage because they're going to hurt themselves. And we don't want to see them get so hurt that there'll be permanent damage, you know? And the Lord, I know the Lord had to speak to me. He had to put the fear, he had to tell me a few things, let me know, fear of God, stop messing around, don't do that. And he did it one time with a dream that he gave me, and it wasn't long after that I got saved because I was putting a girlfriend relationship in front of the Lord. The Lord said, you got to do something, buddy. I said, okay, yes, Lord, I get you. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that means you teach wisdom from that point on. And then you operate with that respect and with that honor and with that fear of worse. You know, I'm sorry, there's a lot of preachers that try to eliminate hellfire. They do. They just try to take that whole aspect out of the kingdom. Guess what? It's there. And we don't want to see people go to hell. I don't want to see them go. I don't want to see them do something that's going to put them there anytime sooner than later. I want them to live a good life. I want them to be blessed. But and one of the hardest things when working with people is how they hurt themselves so much. It just breaks your heart. And Jesus' heart broke for this man, and because of it, he put the fear of God in him. You know what I'm saying? And the fear of God came in this town. Wow, there's something here that's scary. It's scary. And we got to deal with this. We got to know what it is next. And maybe we should do a message, get Pastor Ronnie to do a message on the fear of God sometime. What it means. Because
then shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, just when we love people, but because we fear the Lord, we do what we got to do. The Lord gave me an insight I'm going to share with you, but we'll go on to the next verse. Keep going. They got the story. Now look at their response to the fear of the Lord. What did they try to do? You see? They didn't know. That's why it's the beginning of wisdom. Because they didn't understand. They were worried about the money, the lost bacon charges. You know what I mean? They couldn't make money. Get this guy out of here. Why? But what is he doing? He's clearing it. Next. There's the word begging again, right? But it's different. Saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. But then what did Jesus tell him? No. You realize that everything he asked him, everything anybody asked him, he said no to? Look at that. Don't you think that God does that sometimes to you and me? He says no to you when you really want him to say yes. And do you think maybe there's a reason? So what was the reason? Yes. Yes, I mean, he wanted to follow Jesus and he said, no, don't follow me. And it wasn't because he was a Gentile. It wasn't because he was a former demonized dude. DD, demonized dude. I mean, what did he do? Go on, next verse. 10 cities. He said, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go and be an apostle to the 10 cities. You're already there. You're ready. Go. Do it. He kept his 12 disciples with him, but he sent somebody, the first, and you can almost say the first preacher that he sent. Go out and tell them. The most demonized guy, the worst guy, the hardest, the most messed up guy, the most incredibly disastrous, weird, stinky, smelly person, Jesus says, go and preach. You've got everything you need. Well, yeah, but he just did the circuit of 10 cities. 10 cities. Gentile cities. Go do it. Why? Your life, just tell them about what Jesus did. Your life is the testimony. Look what God has done. Look at what you did. It's amazing. Just tell them. So I want to encourage you. I believe the Lord used that man's testimony to change the atmosphere of 10 cities. The Lord used a centurion to change the atmosphere of one town. But he used a demonized dude, a double D, to change the atmosphere of 10 Gentile cities. 10. Praise God. Aren't you encouraged by that? Aren't you encouraged if God can use the demon dude, he can use you? Yeah. Yeah, and he got him out of the self-destructive behavior. He put the fear of God in him.
And when the Gentiles came into the kingdom, you reckon they slipped in?
Yeah.
They were ready.
I mean, they knew this dude. He had a reputation. Come on. I want to encourage you about changing the atmosphere that God can use you and me. Amen? Come on, let's stand and let's pray. Let's just receive from the Lord, okay? I hope this blessed you and encouraged you. You know, encouraged you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. All right, so Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for the fear of God. We thank you, Lord God, that no matter what our background is, Father, we just come against any attack of the enemy to try to cause us to look in our past and see that somehow it's stopping us from doing what God wants us to do today. Father, we thank you that the past has been done away. And Lord, I thank you that even for that demonized dude, his testimony was when made him instantly one that Jesus would send to witness about the good things of God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're able to turn us around and put us in the right direction, no matter how afflicted, no matter how messed up, no matter what the atmosphere is around us, Lord God, you can use us in a mighty way. You can use us. Lord, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate me. And Father, we pray for a greater boldness as we have in this area, in this region, a greater boldness to see our Decapolis, to see our area, to see our region, hear about the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. All my life you've been faithful, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's give the Lord a praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.